Welcome into the Bear Down Podcast right here on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. You can listen to our show weeknights 6-8 right here on ESPN 1000. And Tuesdays and Thursdays, we talk Bears football in the NFL with you. And Abdallah, it's mock draft season. That's right. We have the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, Super Bowl 54, the Chiefs and the Eagles. But here in Chicago, we're focused on the number one pick and what can Ryan Poles do with said number one pick to get more assets for the Chicago Bears in the future.
Yeah, there's a new mock draft up on ESPN.com from Matt Miller, draft expert for ESPN.com, and it has the Bears making a trade at the top of this draft. So this draft goes through the first two full rounds of a mock draft, and it has the Bears trading the number one overall pick with the Colts for the number four overall pick and their second round pick, and then another pick in a fourth rounder and a 2024 third rounder. So we don't get to know what the fourth rounder is or obviously what the 2024 third rounder is going to be, but Matt Miller has them taking someone at number four and at number 35, and then again with the Bears' own pick later in the second round.
So at the top of the board, this is how it shakes out then. After the trade that Matt Miller suggests, and he was on this podcast last spring heading into the NFL draft. He's really good. He's suggesting that the Colts are the ones that make the move to go get up to one. They take Bryce Young, quarterback from Alabama. That leaves the second pick to the Texans, and the Texans selecting a quarterback, Kentucky quarterback Will Levis, goes number two. Arizona stays at three, and the Cardinals select Will Anderson Jr., the defensive end from Alabama. The Bears are at four, and they would land Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle from Georgia, with the fourth pick. Now, obviously, we'll get into what else the Bears would recoup for trading from one to four. But if the Bears stick at four and can land Jalen Carter, who's arguably a top two player of this draft, right? Like, if we remove quarterbacks from the conversation, it seems as if the collective agreement is the top two players in the draft are Jalen Carter and Will Anderson. Those are the two top players. But then you factor in need at quarterback, and that's where Bryce Young jumps up to the number one guy, and then we can debate Levis, C.J. Stroud, however that kind of works out. But for all intents and pieces of argument for this mock draft on ESPN.com that was released this week, if the Bears move back to four and still get a top two player in Jalen Carter, that would be a huge win for Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I think it would be. I don't think the compensation is enough, for me at least, right? So for me, if you're coming up to the number one spot and you're getting your franchise quarterback, the conversation for me starts with flipping for your first round pick, so one to four in this case, and I need your first round pick next year. That's where it starts. You want to give me a second round pick also, fine. Or you want to take away that second round pick and say only give me that third round or that fourth round, fine. But the conversation starts with first round this year, first round next year, or else I'm not even picking up the phone. Because if you're jumping up three spots to get the number one pick of the draft and you're jumping up ahead of a team that needs a quarterback in the Houston Texans, because you assume then you call the Texans back and you say, hey, they want this pick. What are you going to offer me? And then to me, if the Bears don't end up with the team that they flips with first round pick this year and their first round pick next year, then they didn't do a good enough job negotiating.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it. Matt Miller writes this in relation to the Bears taking Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle from Georgia, at four. The Bears traded back in this scenario, but are still in position to select perhaps the top prospect in the class. In Matt Eberflus's defense, a three-technique pass rushing is critical. Carter is a Fletcher Cox-like difference maker there. He can play in a rotation. He played in a rotation in 2021 and had an injury-plagued 2022, so we didn't see him post great stat totals, just six career sacks. When watching historically talented Georgia's defense the past 2 years, however, he was the most talented of the bunch. Carter's burst off the snap has the potential to be great, and he has already displayed his understanding of leverage, space, and timing when unleashing spin and rip moves. He should enter the NFL as a high-end starter at the position on which Eberflus's defense hinges. So You know, when you look at the fit of a player to the defense need and what the team needs for improvement overall defensively, this is the player, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, we can have the debate between Will Anderson and Jalen Carter. What do you value most, getting to the quarterback or stopping the bleeding up front as far as the run game? I think specifically the Bears were in worse shape when it came to trying to stop the run last season. And I think if you want to build out a defense, stopping the run has to be objective number one. I think that if you address that, you can maybe find a pass rusher in free agency. You can maybe find additional defensive line help in free agency. And that's like the key that I think may tip the hand for Ryan Poles, is that we'll have free agency at March 1st. We'll have it before the NFL draft. So we'll know if the Bears go out and spend big for a defensive tackle, then it may be likely that they eye Will Anderson as the guy, or perhaps maybe even moving back even farther in the top 10 to get into that like 8-9 range, where then they can maybe select a wide receiver. I think that would be beneficial as well. But if they take an edge rusher in the free agent market to spend a lot of money on, then you know at 4, if the Bears stick there, defensive tackle is where they're going, and Jalen Carter would be the guy.
Well, if you look at the rest of the draft too for the Bears, so Matt Miller has them taking then with their second or their later second round pick that they get from the Colts, has them taking Zay Flowers, the wide receiver out of Boston College, who's very fast, has good hands, but the knock on him is that he's short. He's only 5'10". So that's been the knock on him so far. But if you paid attention to some of these, you know, like the East-West Shrine game and like some of these mock draft people that are starting to put together these videos and like who they like, Zay Flowers is shooting up the wide receiver board and the draft board for people. And then at 53, the pick that they got from Baltimore for Robert Quinn, they have the Bears taking, or Matt Miller has the Bears taking, Zach Harrison, the defensive end from Ohio State. So this is a guy who is a former five-star recruit, 6'6", 272, had his best season in 2022 with 3.5 sacks and 25 pressures. So that, basically, you take care of it. Like, are you getting Will Anderson? No. But you're getting Jalen Carter, the best, you know, three technique in the draft. And then you're also getting a very good, not necessarily like the greatest in the draft, but you're still getting a top defensive end who played at Ohio State against pretty good competition. And then he had the 3.5 sacks and 25 pressures. So to me, that's a guy who's getting to the quarterback and causing, you know, errant throws with the 25 pressures. He only got to the quarterback 3.5 times, but 25 pressures is a lot of pressures. So
yeah,
I'm not upset with this mock draft, but I think the compensation is lacking, like I said earlier. But the three players that they get would address three needs. You need a wide receiver, you need to shore up that defensive line, and you do that before you even get to the middle of the second round with the 53rd pick.
When looking at this mock draft, a couple other things to note, right? Quarterback plays such a huge role in how the first round plays out in the NFL draft. Bryce Young goes 1, Will Levis 2. And we can debate between Levis and C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud on this mock board doesn't get selected until 9 with Carolina. Now, if you told me we get to draft day and C.J. Stroud drops to 9 and Carolina doesn't have to move to get their quarterback for the future, to me, this move, like, forget the fact that they both went to Ohio State, this feels very much like the draft process and the draft conversation heading into Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Justin Fields was the second best talent. Yet there was rogue Dan Orlovsky reports that he was a bad guy in the locker room and he wasn't putting in the work and all this crap that was out there. And Justin Fields fell to the Bears, which was our benefit. But if C.J. Stroud doesn't go until 9, that would be surprising to me. If you have three quarterbacks that go in the top 10, but Stroud going 9, that would be surprising to me, because the Raiders are sitting at 7. They don't take a quarterback. Maybe they do something in free agency. And then as you continue on, the next quarterback taken You're looking middle of the first round, and that's Washington at 16, who would take Anthony Richardson from Florida. To me, would that surprise you if C.J. Stroud is sitting there at 9 for Carolina, where Carolina doesn't have to move to get their quarterback?
I would hope that they would end up moving with the Bears and trading back a second time for that pick, but it wouldn't surprise me at all, I don't think, because if you look at the teams in the way of that, right? So we know that the Cardinals aren't going to take a quarterback because they have Kyler Murray and they just paid him a butt ton of money. The Seahawks could say, hey, we're fine with Geno Smith. We like what he was doing. We'll take a quarterback later in the draft as like a backup or whatever, but we're fine with Geno Smith. If you then go to the Lions and Jared Goff still has 2 years left on his contract. He's got a cap hit of $30 million this year and $31 million in 2024. And the Lions put up very good offensive numbers and could just say, hey, we think we found something in Jared Goff and we got to pay him anyway, so we might as well just pay him, because the dead cap isn't horrible, but you have to get out now. Like, they have to get out right now, because the potential out is this offseason.
Right.
Before we get to the 2023 season. So you have to get out now. So we'll know before the draft whether or not they want to do that. The Raiders, I mean, it depends on what they do in the in free agency, right? Do they sign Jimmy Garoppolo? Do they trade for Aaron Rodgers? Like, we'll know before the draft what the Raiders are going to do, and that takes them out of contention if they do that. And then you get to the Falcons. Like, did Desmond Ridder show enough to be the guy this year? Do they just plan on, like, do the Falcons just go into this year and be like, you know what, we'll see what Desmond Ridder has, and worst case scenario, we're in this spot again, and then we've got the potential of Caleb Williams or Drake May. Like, we just go through the season doing that, and we're fine doing that? Because then you get to Carolina, and you're like, okay, well, then there's C.J. Stroud. Like, do the Falcons take, as Matt Miller says, a defensive end and just start building their defense and go, you know what? Once we've built everything, then Caleb Williams, Drake May, or even another year after that, and just see what Desmond Ridder has in a full year without like the Marcus Mariota stuff and all that kind of thing. Like, let's just see what Desmond Ridder has. So yeah, could I see it happening? Yeah, I could. I just made the case for it to happen.
Yeah, I think the Falcons surround Ridder with some support.
Okay.
I don't think it's try it once and then jump out of there type of thing.
So the outliers are the Seahawks and the Raiders, right? The Raiders don't have a quarterback right now.
No.
And the Seahawks need to make a decision about Geno Smith, whether or not they want to move forward with him as the quarterback and whether they think they've found something in Geno Smith.
Right.
So really, if they stick with Geno, you just have to decide what the Raiders are doing in the offseason. Like, if the Raiders sign Garoppolo before the draft, it's over. If they trade for Aaron Rodgers before the draft, it's over. Because I would assume the Packers would want to use this 7th overall pick as part of that trade. Like, they want to use it this year because you assume that Raiders pick is only going to get worse next year.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we find that out, then yeah. Then to me, if you're the Bears, like, to push this forward with the Bears, if you trade with the Colts, you better be calling the Texans and say, hey, the Colts are coming up to take your guy. Are you cool with that? Or do you want to take him first? And then you trade with the Texans, and then that's when you trade with the Seahawks, and then the Seahawks end up moving up, and then the Colts are left with Will Levis or C.J. Stroud or whoever.
The other piece of this as a Bears fan to note in the first round is, where are the wide receivers going? The first wide receiver on the board in this mock draft heads to Houston. Number 12, Jordan Addison, the wide receiver from USC. He won the Biletnikoff Award last year. Or 2 years ago now in college football. Last season, his numbers are down a little. He dealt with injuries, but he was still very good for USC and Caleb Williams and that offense. It was so explosive. But his eye-popping numbers were from the year before at Pitt, when he was the best wide receiver in college football. Going 12th, which is surprising because a lot of mock drafts don't have Addison as the number one wide receiver off the board. Now, in this mock draft, on ESPN.com, it goes with number 12, Jordan Addison, as the first wide receiver off the board. Number 2 off the board would be to Seattle at number 20, and that's Jackson Smith and Jigba, the wide receiver from Ohio State. He dealt with a ton of injury issues in his last season of college football.
He played like half the games.
Heading into the year, he was expected to be the number one guy on draft boards, but dealt with a ton of injuries. So that's something to keep your eye on. And then there's the player from TCU who has gotten a lot of publicity, and that's Quentin Johnston from TCU. He goes 22nd to Baltimore. So three wide receivers in the first round. We've seen different levels of where they get placed. 25 also has a wide receiver, Jalin Hyatt from Tennessee. He was someone that was all the rave throughout the college football season, as Tennessee was one of the most talked about teams in this last season of college football. So of the four wide receivers in the first round in this mock draft, can the Bears land one of them? And at that point, does it really matter how high you are in the first round if we are now starting to see multiple different opinions as far as mock drafts go, suggesting who number one is, who number two is, and who number three is? I feel like if there's a consensus that the number one guy is Johnston, then you look at it and say, well, we got to be at like 9 or 10 to get him. But if that's not the case, and you could be 12 or 20 or 25, then your concept of Ryan Poles moving back and back and back and collecting assets, it doesn't really matter. Just get to like, you know, 19 or 20, and you can land either Smith and Jigba or Jordan Addison for however it plays out.
I guess the question is, and what we've been, you know, reading through this draft process is that it's not an insanely deep wide receiver class. It's just very top heavy, right? So how much of a drop-off is there from, like, Jalin Hyatt to the Giants at 25 to Zay Flowers at 35, where the Bears end up taking him in this mock draft, right? Like, what's the drop-off? Like, Jalin Hyatt, because I don't know if Zay Flowers is as much of a household name as the other ones, right? Like, the other wide receivers, like Jalin Hyatt, everybody knows from Tennessee. You've got, you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, everybody knows from Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know, like, everybody knows these. Like, Quentin Johnson, everybody's, well, like, the kid from TCU. Oh,
well,
Quentin
Addison,
Johnson.
Addison and Smith-Njigba came into the season as touted top wide receivers for the draft a year ago, right? And then Hyatt comes in because of the eye-popping numbers in production. Mm-hmm. And then Johnston comes in because TCU had an incredible run that no one expected them to get to the national title game. So, like, if TCU is 500 and battling in the Big 12, I don't know if there's necessarily the same juice between behind the, like, campaigning for how great he is as a wide receiver. He's very good, and I get it, but...
But that's just my question. Like, what's the... Like, where's the line? Like, how much of a drop-off is it? Because, to me, if you end up... If you keep trading back and back and back... Like, if Houston calls you and you're like, hey, we can't let the Colts trade with you. We'll give you 2 and 12. And you're like, okay, cool. Give me 2 and 12. And then you take 2 and you flip it for something else, but you still have that 12th pick overall, right? And so maybe use that on a wide receiver. Or maybe, if you keep moving back, that's when you call the Bengals, like we've talked about, and say, hey, are you going to pay T. Higgins? Because we'll take him off your hands for a late first round, early second round pick, right? Because that's the going rate. That's the going rate, though.
Well, no, think of it this way, right? If you pull off that trade, like it suggests in this mock draft, where you get 4 and 35, I would without a doubt trade 35 for T. Higgins.
But that's not the going rate. A.J. Brown was traded for a first round and extra, and Stephon Diggs was traded for...
A.J. Brown was the 18th in something else?
And okay. Diggs was 22nd in something else.
So, go back on it, when I said that it doesn't matter who you get as long as you're in the first round, well, if you move back enough in the first round, that pick... Like, I would rather have T. Higgins than any of the guys who are projected to be first-round picks this year.
And this is why I'm kind of hell-bent on them getting a 2024 first-round pick from one of these teams, because I would say to the Bengals, how about we give you, like, a third round this year and a 2024 pick next year?
Right.
Because that, to me, they want to get money off the books, right? So if you're trading picks... and you give them a third round this year, that's no money on the books, basically. And then your 2024 pick next year from whichever team you get, right? Like if it's the Panthers, if it's the Texans, whatever, then you just say fine. And if it ends up being a high pick, so what? You have T. Higgins, right? Like if it ends up being your pick, and let's say you think you're going to be a 500 team, and it ends up being 17 or 18, then so be it. Because I want to use my picks that I have this year now, but I'm willing to give you a pick next year. Like if the Bears end up having two first round pick next year, like their own and whatever team they end up trading with, trade one of them for T. Higgins. And then you can say next year, hey, guess what? We drafted T. Higgins with this and he's put up monster numbers with Justin Fields. And like, this is great. And he's got 3,000 yards. Like he's awesome, right? Because to me, it's too much this year, like to trade 12 for him or to trade 9 for him. Like, yeah, that's too high.
I could see that.
But a future pick, that's out of my mind. I don't even know what that's going to be yet. It could be 10. It could be 30. Like, I don't know.
Well, it also would give you the opportunity that if you really are concerned about solidifying weapons around Justin Fields, say in fantasy land, you get that deal done for Higgins and you somehow keep your first rounder this year,
mm-hmm.
you could say with the 18th or 19th pick, take Jordan Addison,
mm-hmm.
and then you have T. Higgins,
yeah,
established number one. Jordan Addison, who is expected to become a number one, if not number two. Darnell Mooney as your 3 slot receiver.
Yep.
And then 4, Chase Claypool, where there's no expectations. Just be a guy who contributes.
Just catch, dude.
And now you're like, that's a solidified wide receiver core. Mm-hmm.
And if Cole Kmet can be as good as he was this year, fine.
Boom, that's great.
Yeah.
And that's a way to build. And all the people that are coming at us.
What about the defense?
No, it's the offensive line people.
What about
people?
The offensive line?
Listen, your offensive line will not matter to the same extent if you have those 3 pass catchers as your top 3.
Well, plus that's what
Higgins,
you
have. A Johnston and or.
But think about it.
Addison, but and then only, Darnell Mooney.
But like, we're only talking about the first round. You know what I mean? Like, we're only talking about. So you still have second round, third round, fourth round. You have all this money. You can still fix your offensive line. It just doesn't have to be in the first round.
Yeah, of course.
You can solve your wide receiver problems in the first round by trading a pick for T. Higgins, by getting Jordan Addison or Quentin Johnson or whatever, and then both groups of fans can be appeased, right?
I'm just saying the wide receiver position alleviates some of the issues that a quarterback has.
Yeah, he's got to have time to throw, though.
Time to throw, yes.
Yeah.
He also has to have wide receivers who can, A, get open, and B, when it's close, make a play on the ball.
Yeah.
That's a major issue with this team. Mm-hmm. It's not, like, that's the thing. People want to knock Justin Fields for sometimes missing throws, but also, he has no wide receivers making any plays for him. Like, T. Higgins is a wide receiver who makes plays on the damn football.
Yeah.
He goes up and he gets it and he uses body position mm-hmm. to finagle and to make room and to go up and get a catch in traffic. Like that's what you need. And that also with a little help on the offensive line makes it all work.
But that's what you've got money and other picks for, right? Like use your second round pick on an offensive lineman, use a third round pick on offensive lineman, use some money on offensive lineman. That's 3 offensive linemen right there. Boom.
I just feel like a lot of people would take, if you had an allotment of resources, a lot of people, I think, would put the majority of their resources towards fixing the line because they think the line makes the quarterback.
Yeah.
Where I would say, I need players.
Well, look at what happened when Darnell Mooney got
players.
Hurt. Look at what happened when Darnell Mooney got hurt.
I need wide receiver and weapons. That's what I need. And then we'll shore up the offensive line because the little secret that any Bears fan is having a hard time realizing is almost every offensive line needs help in the league. There's like 3 or 4 really good ones, and everyone else from week to week is dealing with issues.
And guess what? One of the ones that needs help is in the Super Bowl. Like the Chiefs' offensive line isn't fixed.
The Chiefs, the Bengals,
you
know, look all over the place. Philadelphia is different. Their offensive line is stellar.
Best NFL,
offensive line in the NFL. If you want to come at us with the Eagles, go for it. But, you know, week to week with health, with the efficiency of the line, it's not a guarantee.
Well, think about it. How many offensive linemen do you think they need? Braxton Jones is probably staying. And Tevin Jenkins is probably staying.
What about Patrick? He's probably there, right?
Center?
I would guess they need two starters, and then they need, like, an additional depth piece.
But your depth guys are coming later.
Yeah, no,
your
I know that.
Guys are
Well, I'm saying,
fifth
I think they need two starters.
Undrafted free agents. Yeah. Okay, so two starters. You can't do that in the second and third round. You can't do that in free agency.
They could do that on March 1st.
Yeah.
That could be assignment number one is you address that, and then you know in the draft you don't have to worry about it.
That's fine. I just think both groups of fans can be appeased. Like, the one thing I'm not too hell-bent on fixing right away is the defense. Because I need to, I've said it before, I need to know what Justin Fields is. And so if our proposal of getting wide receivers and offensive linemen early, to me, that's best where your money and picks are served. Because unless you have the fourth overall pick, then fine. Take Jalen Carter or Will Anderson, whoever's available. That's fine. Because you're not taking a wide receiver that early. But to me, fixing the defense can be done next year with a couple first-round picks and a second-round pick. Like, that's where you can make that, and you're still going to have money next year too. Like, you know, you can have cap space in 2024 also. You know what I mean? Like, there's, it's not like they're just going to have like, oh, well, that's our money.
Well, I think if you want to win games, the defense does need to improve.
I agree with you, but
they're not going to win games with the way the defense played last year.
I understand
year.
That. However, guys were hurt, and also of the one score games that we talk about with this team, they had the ball at the end of the game. Better weapons might turn some of those L's into W's.
Oh, yeah. No,
and that's
no
why that's why I think that it's so imperative to not have guys that are muffing punts and not having wide receivers who the ball gets ripped out of their hand or Darnell Mooney can't get a butt cheek down in the end zone. Like, that to me is where this is, like, most imperative. Like, yeah, the defense gave up a ton of points. I understand that. But in 7 or 8 games this year that were one-score games, they had the ball at the end and couldn't do it. And it wasn't because of Justin Fields. It was because of their wide receivers.
We continue with our coverage of Super Week. You'll hear more NFL and Super Bowl conversation on Bleck and Abdallah tonight. The big show at 6 o'clock, 6 to 8 weeknights here on ESPN 1000. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have the Bear Down podcast. We'll have more mock draft conversations for the next couple of months. It's the best time of year to be a football fan. Like, I get the games are great. We love watching football. I love breaking down mock drafts, previewing the players who are going to be featured in the first round, the different quarterbacks, the wide receivers, what the Bears should do with strategy. It's all going to be found right here on the Bear Down podcast, Tuesdays and Thursdays, right here on the ESPN Chicago app. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Bleck and Abdallah on the Bear Down podcast.